eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When you need to know what's happening, it's time to get in the huddle with Carl Dukes, Brian Baldinger, and Jason LaConfora.
What are we talking about with the Miami Dolphins? And when you start talking about Tua, you got to talk about offensive line, right? They need to protect him, obviously, more, especially with this investment that they're about to have into him.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can look at their offseason, and they have gutted their defense. So, I mean, really, all three levels of the defense, you can make a case, right? Like, they kind of lost a little bit of their spine. You talk about losing somebody like Christian Wilkins. I think they're a little light at linebacker, especially with so many guys coming back from injury, season-ending injuries that happen in season, right? So those guys might not necessarily be back for the first quarter of the season. We know they thought they were going to have a dream team in their secondary a few years ago. Hasn't worked out, right? Xavier couldn't really stay on the field. Jalen Ramsey, not a spring chicken. I mean, and then you look at, you know, Armstead. You mentioned O-line. I'm totally with you. I mean, Armstead kind of going year to year now, like body breaking down a little bit. Where is he in terms of a one-year, two-year, three-year plan? So you look at the strengths of the draft and with where they're picking, I mean, offensive line or corner, I think there's going to be a couple of them that are standing out to the Dolphins. Maybe there's enough of them there that their needs match up with the strength of this draft that maybe you could move back a little bit, get a little cute, get some more capital and still get, you know, one of those guys, your left tackle of the future, your, you know, starting boundary corner of right bleeping now. So I if you're Anthony Weaver and you took over that defense and you look at what they had on paper, like when Baltimore faced Miami late in the year, when Weaver was still a part of the Ravens defensive staff, you look at Miami's roster going into that game where they had a bunch of injuries come down at the start of that game to now, that defensive roster it's a shell of what it was. So I got to think he's banging the table like, hey, guys, I just got here. We've gutted things. We've lost a lot of guys. Can I get a little something in the first round? I can see it. I can see them addressing their secondary or their offensive line.
What about Bradley Chubb, right? Injured Phillips. They got edge rushers, but is that also something you think they might be thinking about here?
I mean, they're going to know about the return of those guys and what kind of feedback they're getting from their medical team about what's realistic. How early in the year are they going to be ready to go? I have a hard time getting excited about these edge rushers. Like, you're going to talk yourself into some of them because there's none of them, you know? because there's really only three and a half, four who should really even be talked about. And in a good edge draft, those guys are in the second wave mostly and not even the first wave, you know? So, I mean, you could. I just think that a couple of them will already be gone, and they don't need a quarterback, right? So I'm going to say by the time they pick, maybe six quarterbacks have been taken, at least five, right? So they're not in that market. So, like, that drops some players to them. Like, they're going to be right in the thick of, I think, that run on offensive linemen and corners. And I think that, again, a lot of assumptions here. A lot of things have to happen between now and then. But I can just see it being a scenario where there's somebody at one of those positions who they think is of a quality that we can't get later.
Let's talk about the Cincinnati Bengals. It's In the Huddle, guys. Subscribe, like us, watch us on YouTube, In the Huddle Pod, and tell your friends about us as we talk all things NFL. Jason Lock on for Carl Dukes. Baldy will be back with us, and we'll be talking more about the draft and breaking down some of these players as well. Jason, Cincinnati, obviously, they get Joe Burrow back. That's number one. The T. Higgins situation, are they thinking wide receiver early in this draft, or are you still going offensive line thinking about the future well-being of Joe Burrow?
I think it's a lot like Miami, man. I think, again, at that corner of the draft, the defense slipped last year, and a lot of that slip was the secondary, right? They let their two safeties go in free agency. They tried to replace them with kids. It didn't really work. You know, Awuzie wasn't the same guy, coming back from injury. Now he's gone. They tried to address pass rush last year and lean into that maybe a year too soon. Or not too soon, but maybe a year before they absolutely had to, which I get when you look at, their edge rushers and where they are at this point in their career. So I think they feel like they minded that a little bit last year. I mean, Orlando Brown is a good tackle. Like, he's above average. But, you look at the kind of deal they signed him to, it was kind of a bridge to somebody else, right? The Jonah Williams thing didn't work out. They've had difficulty identifying quality tackles in the draft. You look at the number of them here, and they might say there's too many of them for us to fail. I just think, again, the strength is going to match up with their need. So I think it's not going to be best player available for them, I don't think. Like, I don't think they have that luxury with the way the defense slipped. I think it's going to be the best. It's going to be the best DB or the best offensive lineman available. Maybe there's some other player that's just standing there screaming out to them, but I doubt it. I doubt it. You know, Joe Burrow hasn't played a full season pretty much ever, right? Like, again, Orlando Brown, can he roll with him for another year or two? You can. But I think in a perfect world, Orlando Brown is your right tackle. You know, they switched Jonah to right. Like, could you upgrade at left tackle, move Orlando to right tackle, and maybe really feel better about your O-line than you have in a long time?
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
By the way, the Dolphins pick 21st. The Bengals right there in that 18 range. We don't know if moves are made. And again, we're doing this on the assumption that nothing changes, although we know it will come draft night. All right. And by the way, the Bengals, I'm with you on this as far as, best player available. Because at 18, you're in that kind of no man's land. You'll see what happens in the top 15. But I kind of agree with you there, Jace. Let's talk about the Rams, who were a surprise last year, right? I mean, what they were able to do with the personnel they had, it's kind of amazing to think, okay, this is a team that was supposed to be rebuilding. And instead, they look like they're a team that's on the come. Now, they lost the most dominant defensive player in the last decade. We know that. Aaron Donald calls it quits. But Raheem Morris leaves. He's now the Falcons head coach. He was, the defensive coordinator, secondary guy. So you look at the Rams and you say, all right, Sean McVay, what is he going to do? Do you go out and address edge rusher? Because, listen, the kid Kobe Turner – and Byron Young, Those guys played well inside and for them on the defensive side of the football. Where do the Rams go in this draft? And they, again, are drafting 19 right after Cincinnati.
There's some people who know Sean McVay who think he's done more work on quarterbacks than you might think. Mm. You know, like the Stetson Bennett thing last, they don't, like that young man is going through some stuff, right? So they don't even have a timetable when he's going to be around their offseason program. Like, it's going to be hard to bank on that. Like, is this Matt Stafford's last role? I mean, it might be, you know, like he's been through a lot, man. He took a beating in Detroit. Like, his body is way older than his age. His wife, right, had a tremendous health scare. This is a guy who, like, is he going to be a Super Bowl MVP again? Like, what are the odds of that happening? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Pretty good chance, like, the pinnacle of his career happened. So if you think six are going and next year's doesn't look as good, I don't know, man. Like, if Penix gets by the Raiders, and I don't think he will, but, like, if he does, you know what I mean? Is Sean McVay going to say, wait a minute, I've already done some internal calculus, right? Like, Donald left. I think my quarterback might leave in a year. If I am sticking around, you know what I mean? Like, if I am trying to make another Lombardi push before I turn 45, and maybe that's when I shut it down for a while, then, like, I need a quarterback, you know? Like, I need a quarterback. So I just think no one's really talking about it, and I think it could be a moot point because I think four are going in the top four, and I think Sean Payton's taking one, and I think the Raiders really want to take one. Like, we know I think the Vikings are moving up to take one if they can. So it might be a moot point. But if it's not, boy, I wouldn't flinch at all if he did it or Seattle. Like, there's two teams in that division that I think are way more in the quarterback market than is being written about, than is being projected in Mock Draft Nation. So aside from that, I think – He knows what he can do offensively, right, to make things happen. And they find value in offensive players all over the draft. So front seven, you know, like I think it would come back to front seven. You know, can we generate – we want to continue to be in a position where we can generate pass rush with four. You know, if we can do that, it makes our lives a whole hell of a lot easier. Again, is this the best draft to be trying to force that? No, it's not. And look, like, even if the way they identify wide receivers, like, if he has a grade on somebody and it just stands out to them, and Cooper Kupp, we know what his body's been through, right? And last year he battled back and was better in the second half. But, like, is he a full season guy now or is he a 12-game guy? I mean, because they have certain body types that they know fit their offense so incredibly well, even that wouldn't shock.